pasuk in Perek Tezvav, Shoft in Perek Tezvav, Vayim Yamim b'meik tzir chitim. It was a little bit later in the times of the harvesting of the wheat. So Shimshon remembered his wife and he wanted to bring a goat over to her, I guess as a gift of Thanksgiving. It's not like he's trying very hard. Goats don't cost a lot of money, especially if it's a goat kid. This costs like $30. It's like bringing like a $30 gift. You'd think if you ditched your wife and you ran away and you didn't want anything to do with her, you'd get her a ring.
$35.
You're dealing with a ring. You'd think you'd go for a ring or something. I'm going to go to my wife, Hachadra, toward the room. And her father would not allow him to be able to come. Now, this is going to be really awesome because it's specifically during the wheat harvest. He specifically came back at this time. Why did he come back at this time? Because he knew what he wanted to do. He wanted to destroy the wheat harvest of the Plishtim. So he came back at this time in order to find a way to go through there. Right over here also, you see that Shimshon was not necessarily the big, strong, Rambo-like person that we always picture him as. The reason why is because his father-in-law stopped him from coming in. Meaning, he said, no, you're not coming any further. How in the world, if this guy is the Shimshon that we know of, the big, strong guy out there, how in the world is his father-in-law going to stop him?
Well, maybe
how is that going to happen?
His father-in-law is also a big guy.
But this is super strong.
Right, but
it was super strong.
Right, but there's no such, as far as we know, there's no super strong.
Like, well, Shimshon.
Well, maybe he was a decent
person. He knocked
down
an entire Colosseum.
He was big. Well, that's later on in the story.
And took the entire gate up and put it on his shoulder.
That's later in the story.
Maybe it's only a specific
at
time.
This point, why would it be any different?
No, but at this point, he just sees a guy who's decent. He's like, listen, it's not a good idea to come in.
Oh, you mean he doesn't want to fight back?
I mean, yeah.
Shimshon doesn't want to fight
back. No, I mean, we don't know that he's like a guy who's going to start a fight. He's
the
not
wording
like,
of the pasuk, Velonis sono avia lavo, is the strange part. Her father wouldn't allow him to come in. It's not that he didn't push his way
he
through.
He locked the door.
It's that his father, picked up an entire gate.
Right, but how is he supposed to know that? The father-in-law says, a guy's coming, I'm going
to
lock the
you
door.
You don't have to say it this way. You could have said it in a bunch of ways. This
happening?
Is the idea. So the real point is that Shimshon was not this strong guy. When he had the Ruach Hashem on him, he became really strong. But when he didn't have the Ruach Hashem on him, and he didn't have it right now, there was no real strength to Shimshon. Shimshon was no better than another person. He'd be just as strong as the next guy. But only when he got that Ruach Hashem did something happen. It says, Vayomer Avia, Amor Marti.
I thought he always had it when it's only when
because
the
hair
was one's gone.
And that's the point. It's not about the hair. Would you ever see anyone with hair being stronger than anybody else? It's not about that. But that's not because of the hair. You can shave the hair and you're fine. It's clearly not the hair. It's something different. It's the Ruach Hashem. Now, the Heichi Timtza to get the Ruach Hashem was his hair. His Nazirus was the ability to get that strength through his hair. But it wasn't the hair that made him strong. That was my point of view. Yomar Avia. Her father said, listen, I thought you hated her. I gave him to one of your friends.
By his hair at the end of the story when he breaks the
Colosseum,
it says
through.
His hair started growing back.
He's Mekayim the mitzvah again. He's Mekayim the Naziris again. Well, and somehow, shape or form,
after chopped off, you could be Mekayim
Naziris. In theory, you could, as long as there's something there, but not if it's your own fault. So as time went on, and he could have used it even earlier, but the point was, by this time, it was there. He had something going for him. But it says, hey, listen, I got a younger sister for you. Why don't you take her instead of the older sister? I should be
better than her.
Innocent. Yeah, that's what he said. That's what he claimed. Now I'm going to be guiltless toward the Plishtim when I do this evil to them. Now this, I have no idea what it means. I've been trying to look this up for years in anywhere I can. I have no idea. He caught 300 foxes. I can't imagine a guy catching 5 foxes, let alone 300 of them. Vayikach lebinim, and he took torches. Vayifen zanavol zanam, and he turned them tail to tail. Vayosan lapidach ben shnazavos batavach, and then he put a torch in between their two tails in the middle of it. Vayavar ish balapidim, and he set a fire there. Vayishalach bekamos plishim, and he set it against the what's it called? The standing grain of the plishim. Vayavar migidish vad kama vad karam zayis, and he burnt up all the piles and all the standing things and all the karam zayis. Clearly there's something here. Chazal tell us that the reason why foxes is because the fox, when threatened, turns and runs away. And that was what the Plishtim were like. And similarly, it's going to, they were sly and devious just like the fox, and they went the other way. And especially because they would cause the most damage to the fields because they'd run one way to the other way and everything like that. Maybe he held that they were all responsible. That's what he was saying, because they were silent when his wife was taken away and everything like that. Maybe you were looking at foxes as false, treacherous type of animals, and so too these Plishtim were looking at their own self-interest over here. But this is ridiculous. Who in the world? I don't care how strong you are. How are you catching 300 foxes? What were you going to say, Shuki?
I mean, he could have also been smart, and there are probably ways you can catch foxes.
You're right. It very well could be. This is just a really strange thing to say in the Pasuk.
Don't they have a big fox hunt in Great Britain over here?
Yeah, they kill them, don't they?
Yeah.
I think they kill them.
They gotta catch them. Well, they have dogs that are trained.
Yeah, they have dogs that are trained for them. It's just weird. The whole thing is weird. And plus, hold on. He wants to burn down the fields, right? Just put it on one fox. Put a fire on one fox and have him drag it. You have to have them tied up together.
So does that mean in order to go through the foxes as well?
I guess so. There's something here. I don't get what the remnants is behind it. I've been looking for it for years, and I've never found a good answer that I like.
He took little balloons, lit a fire.
Then why call it a fox? Why call it that? Why over anything else? Okay, look what it says over here. David, you're sharing with Shuki over here. Vayomru Pelishim Yasazos. The Pelishim said, who did this? Vayomru Shimshon Chasen HaTimni. He said, Shimshon, the son-in-law of the Timni. This is the point. The point was, Shimshon made himself well known that it was not the Jews. He's not known as a Jew anymore. He's known as the son-in-law of that guy over there. Once he did that, they didn't think of it as a Jew punishment, so they didn't punish the Jews back. They wanted to go for them. They burned her and her father in a fire in order to appease him. What they were thinking is, let's appease him. Right? That's the idea of what they were thinking. How did you do this? I'm going to take vengeance on you for killing my wife. And then afterward, I'll stop. And he killed them leg upon thigh, whatever that means. Either it means he hit them in the thigh and cut them. And then he sat by the cleft, by the rock of Etam, an area that, again, was far away from the Jews, but not exactly around the Pelishim themselves. And that's the idea behind it. Again, this was all part of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's plan. He had an idea of how he wanted to destroy the Pelishim. He's already killed 30. Then he burned down all their fields so they had no wheat left. And now he's killing the Pelishim who took vengeance upon his wife. He's killing everybody that's right there. So the Pelishim came up, they camped by Yehuda, and they spread out right by the city called Lehi. Why is it called Lehi? We're going to see soon. Why did you come up upon us? We came to tie up Shimshon and to take care of him like he did to us. And once again, we have nothing against you. They said to the Jews, it's not you, it's Shimshon, who's clearly not a Jew. He's marrying into our families, he's trying to be with us, we're against him. 3,000 men from Yehuda went to Elsif Sela Etam. Don't you realize that the Pelishim were ruling against us? Mazel Sisilin, what are you doing? They could fight us. They did to me. So I went back down to them. Now this act over here, Vayerdu Shlosh Alafim, is indicated by going down again. We already saw Vayera Timnasi. He went down to Timna because this was Shimshon's downfall by going down to Timna. Now we're seeing it by these 3,000 men of Yehuda as well. Shimshon was their protector. Shimshon was their, up until now, their shofet, the person that was in charge of them. He was a well-known tzaddik that people knew about. And now something had happened, and agreed, he had done something that's terribly wrong, but all of a sudden they're willing to give him over to the enemies that are present. They were prepared to fight for him. They're willing to just give him over. Now, granted, they may have thought Shimshon's a sinner. He went already to that side. He doesn't count as anymore. Maybe that's what they thought. But if they had any other thought other than that, and a Kaddish Baruch Hu knows what they were thinking, then clearly it's called a Yerida. And that's what it says over here.
Or it could be they were being ruled over by the police team. He's a wanted man, and he was named. This is like the story of... What's it called?
Sheva ben Bichri and Serach Bas Asher. So there is, the Radak and the Malvim both say that it is mutter to be able to go through and to give somebody out if they ask for him specifically. The problem is, that's only if Sheva ben Bichri and the Rambam passes away. That's only if the person that they want is Chayav Misa for some reason. Shimshon was not Chayav Misa.
Why would it be Chayav?
There was no Hatter over here.
He killed
the
Pelishtim.
But for vengeance. Because there was a reason they had started the fight by doing something to him. That's how he had excused it. So in other words, he is not Chayav Misa for what he had done. So in this case, this would be Usher. So the Malbim and the Radak say, they paskin that it was permitted to hand him over, but they were wrong in that psak. That psak was not the one over here, especially because over here, Shimshon is still a tzaddik, and they should have asked him, what's happening over here? Somebody should have said something to him. Nobody said anything. Remember, he's still a shofet, still had nevuah, and he had nevuah for the last 20 years, and now, clearly he was doing something. Nobody knew why, but nobody was asking why.
But he's a tzaddik, but he has no strength.
What do you mean? No, hold on. He has strength when he has the Ruach Hashem, but I'm not talking about a person who at all times is this really, really strong individual. There are times where he has super strength. At other times, he's just a regular person.
So there's just different times.
Yeah, so just that, running there. But that's exactly what Shimshon argued back. You have no legitimate complaint against me, but I have nothing against you. So he said, V'yom lola asor cho yaradnu. We came down to capture you. L'sid cho b'yaplish to give the answer to the plishma. Yom lam Shimshon. Yishavu li pentifu b'yatem. Swear to me, you won't touch me. Swear to me, you won't touch me. Are you going to swear? V'yom lo, lay more. And they said to him, saying, lo, ki osarna asarnu, we're just going to tie you up. And v'senu cho b'yadam, we'll put you in their hands. V'amisal and misecho, we will not kill you. V'yasru b'shnaim avosim chadashim, they tied him up with two huge brand new ropes, they alum in asala, and they brought him up from the rock itself. Now, once again, this is going to look even better for Shimshon's side. The Jews are handing him over, and Shimshon is going to fight the Plishtim on his own. No longer will they think that he's a Jew. They think he's a person on his own, doing his own thing over here. It says, who bought Lachi came all the way to Lachi, Plishtim Iriu Likrasu, and the Plishtim shouted when they came to greet him, Batislach Ruach Hashem, and that's when the spirit of HaKadosh Baruch Hu hit him. How dare you say such things about HaKadosh Baruch Hu in front of me? That's when he really got that strength. Batiyena Avos Mashal Zerosa Kapishtim, the ropes that were on his arms were like strips of flax. Asher Ba'aru Be'esh, they burned in a fire, Ve'imasu Asur Be'al Yadav, and they literally melted off of his arms. They melted down. Ve'imsa Lachi Chamor Tria, he found the cheekbone of a fresh donkey carcass. He put out his hand, and he took it, and he killed 1,000 men. Although a Nazir, well, we have to talk. Nazir Shimshon is machlokis in the Gemara, whether or not he could be metami lemesim. It's a Gemara in Nazir at the very beginning, Davav, I think it is, right? Whether he could be metami lemesim or not. If he cannot be metami lemesim, then he took the jawbones so that he'd be able to kill the Plishtim without touching them. Bone is not makabel tuma, swords are. Therefore, he didn't want to become makabel tumas mace. Therefore, he used the lechi, he used the jawbone of the donkey to be able to do it. If he is allowed to be makabel tuma,
How do you do the jawbone again?
He smacked him. That's all he did, right? If he is allowed to become tame, then it could be that he touched him. He just wanted a weapon, and that's that. It could be anyone, either one of those. Anyway, by Apa Elafish, 1,000 men were killed by Shimshon. He said, I was able to kill 1,000 men together with the jawbone of the donkey. I made piles. As a side note, that was a song. When you do a miracle and HaKadosh Baruch Hu causes a miracle to happen for you, you have to sing Shira to HaKadosh Baruch Hu about what you just did. So Shimshon sang to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and this was his song. HaChamor, he says, Chamor, Chamor, Asayim, Belechi, HaChamor, Ikesi, Elavish. That was his song. It was a haiku. But that was it. Like Chalos HaLadaber, after he spoke out his song, Vashal Lechi Miyado, he threw the donkey bone down, V'yikol HaMakamahu Ramas Lechi. And therefore they called it Ramas Lechi, that area right over there. Some say, and this is the Medrash, this jawbone was the donkey of Bilam HaRasha. His jawbone was preserved specifically for him because it did something good for Bilam. It was therefore used for something great here as well, right over here. Now, normally, donkey bones should not have lasted that long. In fact, it was this donkey bone was especially only a 3-day-old donkey, and the bones should have been soft and weak. Nonetheless, he was able to have a double miracle over here that he was able to beat up all the Plishtim with this really, really soft thing over here.
It would be a triple miracle because Bilam was about 200 miles away.
Oh, if it was still Bilam. I mean, it was one of the two. Either it's a really small donkey, or it was referring to Bilam's thing over here. Now, you're right. If this is the land of the Plishtim, and that would be the west of Eretz Yisrael, very difficult to understand that Bilam, who would have stood by the east of Eretz Yisrael, on the east of the Jordan, looking out at the Jews, somehow that donkey bone would have found its way to the Plishtim. Almost impossible for that to be that way, right? So maybe it's referring to something else, and the Medrash is just saying, like, there is something awesome about this donkey. Maybe it's a child, great-great-great-grandchild of the donkey. Donkey Gilgul. They don't have Gilgulim. The Kliyakar says that the miracle here is that all he had to do is reach out and HaKadosh Baruch Hu put it there for him. Then he wanted something, and Hashem allowed him to get it. He became very thirsty all of a sudden. But you call Hashem, he called Hashem, Yomar, he just did this awesome salvation for me. But someone, now I'm going to die by thirst. I'm going to fall into the hands of these arls. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu opened up the hollow place that was by the cheekbone. Water came out from Yisht, and he drank from it. And his spirit came back. Vayechi, and he lived. They called the name. So not only did they call it Ramas Lechi, they called it Ein HaKorei Shebelechi because there's a spring that came out from there, right over there. Why? why did he become punished immediately? So it could be that although he said over here, Chamor, Chamor, Sam, Bel, Chamor, he, Kasi, Elavish, he never mentioned God's name. He may have sung a song. He may have sung his Shira. But he never mentioned thank you to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And when you don't mention to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then that's when HaKadosh Baruch Hu shows that you are absolutely, you are mine and not your own. You're not able to do things as well. Some say that he was so weak, he threw the jawbone to the ground, he couldn't do anything whatsoever. That's when he becomes stricken, right? And that's what happened over there. Some say that he was so weak that had a cup of water been right there, he still wouldn't be able to move out his hand and pick it up and bring it to his lips. That's what it was. He knew that it was completely unnatural. So where did the water come from? A lot of weird things that come from over here. Some say it was a total miracle coming out from the jawbone itself. It did not come out from the ground. It came out from the actual jawbone of the donkey. And the water came out from there. Obviously a tummy creature, and yet that was perfectly fine. No issue whatsoever. You could drink from it. Some say it came out from a hole in the rock, that there were springs underneath the ground, and it came out from the hole in the rock, and that could possibly happen. Others say it came out from his mouth itself, that somehow a spring opened up within his mouth, and he was able to swallow his own spit, and he was able to be okay, and that was enough water for him to survive. We have three different opinions over here, all three of them brought by different Rishonim. Vayishpat Yisrael b'yimei Plishtim as from Shana. 20 years he judged B'nai Yisrael in the land of in the days of the Plishtim, and that's that. Again, we already talked about B'nai Plishtim. It wasn't in the days of the Jews. The Jews were not powerful at the time. The Plishtim were powerful at the time, and that's the idea behind it. Okay, now, we get to the next, Tazayin, which is unfortunately the terrible sins of Shimshon and what happened to him after he got to past that first woman. B'nai Shimshon also, he went to Gaza. V'yarsham Isha Zona V'yavoyla. He saw a prostitute woman, and he was together with her. This may have been his first unbridled sin. Where the first one, there was a reason for it. This one was just a taiva. It could be that it was a pure taiva that he wanted to be together with this taiva, and therefore it was a bad one. Rambam says again, every woman that Shimshon was with, he converted. So if this is a woman that he was actually with, he did convert her somehow, although it would have been b'dieved, because she for sure didn't have Kabbalah Samitzvos, and there was no Beis Din or Sanhedrin that would have accepted her. Nonetheless, it did work b'dieved, and it would have worked over here, but he went inside. But it also shows you the strength of Shimshon. He walked right into one of the capital cities of the Plishtim, was unmolested. Nobody said anything to him. He went right in to do whatever he wanted to do, and nobody said anything. So La'azosim Lemor, the Azapi, the Gazites, were told, B'Shimshon Eina, B'Shimshon can be a Sobu. They surrounded him, V'Yarvilu Kol Laila, and they ambushed him all night long, B'Shar Ir, by the gate of the city, V'Yishkorshu Kol Laila. They plotted all night, Lemor, at Or Bok of Aragnu. Once morning comes, then we'll be able to kill him. They spent all night thinking the best way to kill him by surprise. What should we do? How are we going to get him? They probably had all these booby traps everywhere trying to get him in some way, shape, or form. V'Yishkav Shimshon Chatzil, but Shimshon did not wait until the morning. He slept until the middle of the night. He got up in the middle of the night. Unbelievable medrash. The medrash says he got up in the middle of the night to do Tikkun Chatzos. The problem? The Mishkan was still around. There is no Beis HaMikdash being destroyed. The Mishkan was right there. There was a Mishkan around. It's the strangest medrash in the world. What it means, I'm not positive.
There's pretty strange ones.
This is a very strange
one in the world.
Yeah, this is up there, top three, right? But this one, what does it mean? Who knows? The idea behind it is that Shimshon saw that sins like these could cause the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, and therefore he realized what he had done, did tshuva for it immediately, and tried to get out, and that's what the Medrash says. But who knows? He grabbed them to the doors of the gated city of Bishtam Mezuzas, as well as the two lintels on the side, and he carried them on his back together with the lock. Put on my shoulders, and he went all the way to the top of the mountain that was by Hebron, meaning he climbed up a mountain. Now, if you look right over here, Gaza, right? Hebron. We're dealing with, that's 10 miles over there.
Yeah, but Al Pinei Hebron, meaning there's a mountain here, it faces Hebron, meaning you could see Hebron from there. It's not that he walked all the way to Hebron.
Yeah, it says here that faces.
That is opposite Hebron. Well, yeah, the mountains that face Hebron. Would you call a mountain that's right over there facing Hebron?
It could be, because if there was a mountain on this side of the city,
that's a good shot.
That's
a good shot. I still would not say that's a Pnei Hebron. I would say that it would be a mountain right over here.
No.
Here's, see, mountain opposite Hebron is over there. So the Amlois is saying it's right over there, whoever wrote this.
Yeah, but also in the base of Migdash, it says that when they started getting light by Hebron, that's when they said Barakai, right?
Actually, Hebron, yeah.
Whatever, right. So meaning that it's, you don't have to be, you know, a mile away from Hebron.
Well, yes, but That just means, in and of itself, we're dealing, Ad Sheba Chavron could be something else entirely. I don't know if that means all the way over here. Here, the Pusik is trying to say how awesome he was. It does make sense that he would do something which is superhuman, supernatural, to be able to say that's awesome. If you just, even so, let's say that it was a mountain outside of Gaza. It would be strange as anything to say that that faces Chavron when it's that far away, almost 80 miles away. But let's say that it's right there. It's still a mighty feat to be able to climb up a mountain together with these doors and carry it on his back. Pasuk Dalet. After that, he loved a woman that was in Nachal Sorek. Her name was Delilah. Now, Sorek is an allusion to something that happened over here. A srak is a tree that's only used for shade, for nothing else. It doesn't bear any fruit whatsoever. There was nothing good that was going to come from this relationship, unfortunately, and Delilah was his downfall. Chazal say,
is a beautiful hike.
It is?
Yeah.
Nachal Sorek is a street in Ramat Beit Shemesh. What is Nachal Sorek?
No, it's in the northern Negev.
Oh, so that can't be this,
no,
right?
No, it can be. It's not that far from it's not that far from the area.
From Gaza?
Yeah, not that far.
What?
Not
Ramat Beit Shemesh. Ramat Beit Shemesh.
Nachal Sorek.
Yeah, Nachal Sorek.
It's in the Negev. It's in the northern Negev.
Northern Negev?
Yeah.
So it must not be the same place. It must have been named for this, right?
I don't know.
I mean, Sorek probably means a nachal, a wadi that has Sorek, which are struck trees. You know, lots of non-fruit bearing trees. Right, that would make sense why you'd call it Nachal Sorek. So it's not like a wadi.
Between,
yeah.
It's in between like...
Yeah, it makes sense. Maybe around there. Delilah, obviously her name definitely means something. Delilah means to lower oneself. And obviously this was the lowering of Shimshon and the downfall of Shimshon. So her name was actually apropos to what happened over here. Yaloi la sarni pollution, all the officers of the pollution came to her Yomulah and they said to her, Patiosa, also, seduce him. Try to see what his strength is. How are we going to be able to get him? Yasrunu by Yasarnuhu Laanoso, and we'll be able to tie him up together in order to afflict him. We'll give you 1,100 silver pieces. Remember that number. We're going to need it for the next parak when we come up to Micha. But the 1,100 silver pieces, that's right over here. Now, there's a Shaila. Delilah. Who is she exactly? So the machlokis between the Rishonim is she Jewish and she just wanted what's best for Shimshon? And she made them swear that they wouldn't hurt him. And therefore she said, I know that my husband is going to die at some point by the hands of the Pelishim. If you swear to me you won't kill him, then I'll be okay with it. Swear to me you won't kill him, then I'll hand him over. I'd rather him be alive,
but not dead. Why did
she think
that he would be killed by the hands of the Pelishim? Who says? He's gotten all these
He's gotten everything out and he's been all good. Maybe she thought that this is the best way to be able to save him. She was worried for him. Maybe that was her thought process. But there's one way of looking at it. One way
and
of looking at it is
be near Gaza, because especially if she's not Plishti,
right? It could be up north if it's not Plishti.
I mean, no. I'm saying it's Nachal Sorek is where Nachal Sorek is today.
Yeah.
And the Plishti kind of ruled over the general area. They could have gone over there.
That's true. Only if Shimshon's job is to beat up the Plishtim, then it'd be weird that he'd go up north.
No, not
because even
north.
If the Plishtim were there,
Nachal Sorek is in the northern Negev, meaning it's not that far from Gaza, but it's
Negev.
Not in Gaza.
Okay,
it's
I hear
like
you. It's by Beit Shemesh.
No, south. It's between, I think it's like between Beersheba and like Dimona.
If it's by Beersheba, that makes sense. It'll be right around there, right? So either way, number two, she was a Plishi. She was on the Plishi side. As soon as they came to her, she said 100% I'm in. Number three, she loved Shimshon. She was Plishi. She wasn't going to give him over, but she said the 1,100 silver pieces are worth it for me. So those are the three ways the Rishonim go. Tomer Delilah Shimshon, Agidin Li Malkul Chagadol, Uvmatiyas Alano Secha. How is your strength so great? Now, some say she wanted to protect him, and she used this. Because you go up to him and be like, so how could I beat you up? Right? That obviously is not going to go over well. But what she was saying is, I want to know what your strength is so we can protect you. How do I know why you're so strong? Why do you have something that nobody else has? Now, again, if...
Why does he need protecting?
I'm sorry?
At this point, he's shown no evidence that he needs to be protected from anyone.
Maybe. You're 100% right. But maybe she said, I'm worried about what's going to happen in the future. You're not going to keep up like this forever. Your strength is going to wane. And at that point, they're going to torture you. So let's take care of this beforehand. She made some excuse, whatever it was. And Shimshon didn't fall for it. If you give me 7 wet ropes that have never been dried out, then I'll become weakened. And I'll be like any other man. They brought her the 7 wet ropes. She tied them up with them. And the ambush was outside in the other room. The Plishim are here. He broke them. Just like he would do anything of flax, when it's touched by fire. And he didn't even have to use his strength when it came to that. Now, again, She had a misunderstanding here. She thought that it was natural and that there existed some other strength that was greater than that. And therefore, she said, what could I do? What could I do? Right? And he kept saying it. Some say there were, the Plishtim were inside there. And as soon as Shimshon heard this from his wife, he immediately went out and killed them all. Some say, no, he didn't kill anybody, but he did break them like their tiny little ropes. V'atom v'delilo Shimshon. He didn't insult me. He made fun of me. But Deborah, like, Zavni, you told me lies. I talked to him about Matasar. So what's the real answer? If you take brand new ropes that have never been used for work, so you see over here, the Plishtim wouldn't bring this to her. She did it on her own. That there was an ambush in the room. He broke them off like they were tiny strings. You're still making fun of me. But you're telling me these lies. Tell me how you're so strong.
He must be a really deep sleeper because she's tying him up and he doesn't feel it. And then she wakes him up by saying the police are on you. Then he wakes up.
I don't want to be graphic, but it was always after he had done something.
No, hey, fine. I figured.
So that was the tiredness.
No, fine. But that's to tie somebody up. You've got to be
100%. But
and then she just says, "Hey, the police team are on you." Oh, even if she waited till
it
the morning,
could even be that Shimshon allowed it to happen. Meaning, Shimshon himself knew what was going on here, and was that, or she drugged him. That could also.
Yeah, it worked for Yehudas.
Yehudas. Well, he was. Yeah, he was drunk. If you surround my hair, now all of a sudden he's coming dangerously close to the truth. You surround my hair, together with a little bit of a weaver's, a weft or whatever they're called. She stuck it onto a peg. He pulled up the entire thing off the ground. And again, it went through there. The question is really what he's doing. He's playing with her. And again, it may be that he knows that Plishtim are lying in wait and he's willing to kill them by doing this one after the other. But the fact is, once you start, it's very hard to stop. And he went too far. At one point, once you start telling over, something that eventually is a secret, then eventually something's going to get told, a secret that you didn't want to tell. And that's exactly what he did. Ich tomar avatich. How could you say that I love you, v'libcha initi, while your heart's not with me? Zeshlosh pam miyasal to be these three times you have made fun of it, l'gadatim makochach l'gadu, and you have not yet told me how your strength is, v'yikeit sikol abidavarel, when she oppressed him with her words, kol ha'yama meta'al atzehu. Chazal say that she oppressed him by stopping being together with her, being together with him. And that, to him, was a tremendous pain. And he could not have a tikta national moose, and it was almost as if he wanted to die. He could not get over this taiva that he had over here, and his desire was stronger than most men. Unfortunately, that was something that he could not help. But Yagidolas Kol Libo, he told her everything. But Yomelo, Morlo Ola Roshi Kinesir Lukimani Mibeta Nimi. A shaver has never been upon my head because I have been a Nazir of HaKadosh Baruch Hu since the stomach of my mother. In Gulakti, if you shave my head, it will turn away from me all my strength and I will be weakened and I will be like all other men. By this time, he didn't even care. He had nothing to live for. He felt like he was going to die anyway. So he went as well go through. I want to point this out, and I'm not positive that any of this is true. We think of Shimshon as having these long, huge locks of hair, these huge things. How do we know he wasn't basically bald? With like a little bit of hair. That was coming out from there. Meaning, we think of Shimshon as being this guy with all this head of hair. Well, he was older.
Because
why wouldn't she have realized something to do with the hair? Now, again, it could very well be, she's seen other Nazirim before, and it's not like this guy's any different. Why would the Nazir, no Nazir is strong like this guy? And that might be the answer.
You said a Nazir is someone who can never shave his head, ever.
I didn't say he shaved his head. He's bald. Wasn't his fault.
He's a weird...
Maybe
he was shaving then if he's bald.
Again, he's not totally bald. He has like little things over here that he let go, whatever it is. Maybe he had a comb over. But I'm saying it doesn't have to be that he's all of a sudden this long-haired individual. I'm just pointing it out. It's possible, because it doesn't say anywhere that he had huge locks of hair in his head. They shaved something, but it doesn't mean they shaved all of his hair. I'm just wondering if that's why Delilah never suspected that was it. Yeah.
For your profession, you come across a lot of strange individuals... non-conventional people.
Thank you.
And I'm sure a lot of them have long hair, and you usually don't think... do you think when you meet them, this guy's weird because he has long hair?
No.
This guy's just different.
Well, nowadays, yes. Nowadays, unfortunately, yes. Mm-hmm. There is something. When a person has long hair, it does look different from most people. So, yeah, there's something that automatically comes with that.
That's usually... different about that person, aside from the hair, so the hair just makes sense.
Yeah, I guess you're right. I guess you're right. Again, but Dalila may have, I'm not saying for sure this is true, just Dalila may not have noticed anything because it wasn't a lot of hair. It could be that way. But anyway, this time,
you know what? She could not have drugged him.
Why not?
Because he doesn't drink wine. He's a nuzzer. He's not allowed to drink wine. That's how they ever got it.
True. There are other ways of drugging a person.
How?
That's
how
not the only way out there. Opiums. Opiates. There are still opiates, and they still had that. As of 1000 BCE, they knew about opiates enough to be able to do some types of surgery.
Would that really affect him, though? Like the
why not? Opiates.
Wait, he's allowed to have a date. Wow, a date, wine.
Oh,
that's
true also. Yeah, you can make what? You can make
beer out of
whiskey and technically beer out of almost anything. Right. All you have to do is ferment it. Vatira Dalila ki gilas kol divo. Then Dalila saw he had said everything. Batishlach v'tikra l'sarni pelishim. So she sent and she called out to the officers of the pelishim. Leimar aluapam, come up this time. Kiglas kol libo. He told me all of his heart. But aluay l'sarni pelishim yalo hakasu biyadam. They brought the money with them. How would she know this time? Number one, you can tell when somebody's telling you the truth. That's number one. Number two, he used Hashem's name. It says, Kinezir Elokim ani mi baten. I am a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Number three, it makes sense that somebody who dedicates himself to something that God has would have a supernatural strength that other people don't have. Right? All of these are 100% true. Other times, something over here, he used a different lashon. He said, my strength will leave me. Right? Over here, he said a little bit more, sor mi meni kochi, which is something that's a little bit there. Anyway, it says over here, Pasuk Yotes Vaitashnei Wal Birkel, she put him to sleep on her knees. Vatikra Leish Vatigalachas Shavamachavos Rosho. She shaved off his head. Here, for sure, he must have been drunk. In some way, shape, or form, there's no way you could shave, even if you could put a guy's ropes around him. Here, to put it around the head. Vatachol Anoso Vayasar Kochom Yalov. It began to hurt him, and his strength immediately left him. Immediately became weaker, even in his sleep. Vatomer Pelishim Alecha Shimshom Yikas Mishal. So he got up from his sleep. And Yomar Eitzik Avam Bavam Yinoyer. I'm going to get up and go what I do. He had no idea that HaKadosh Baruch Hu had turned out. And right there is his chait. Do you notice what the chait is? The first thing he says is, V'inoyer, I will get up. Eitzei kifam bafam, I will do it. That was the problem in the first place. He started attributing the strength to himself and not to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that immediately is a big, big problem. So again, he may have thought that the strength dissipates slowly. Maybe he thought, like, I'd still have one last thing. I still have the job of God, even if my hair is gone. But he was wrong. Once the hair was gone and he lost the schus of being an Azir Elokim, then he lost his ability to be that strong. We're going to stop right here. We're on Pasuk Chaf Aleph. So Perek Tes Zayin, Pasuk Chaf Aleph, and we'll start with here.
Oh, wait,
for next
it sounds
time.
Like the story of